Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Vince Layton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting.
Are you finished fanboying?
Yeah.
Thank you,
Scott. Anybody else want to praise anybody else? That was really heartwarming stuff.
Don't get done often enough, mate. That's all.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah. Right then, let's do this. Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, which is part panel show, part game show. It is as competitive as the guests want it to be. And in the live shows in Edinburgh, that was very competitive indeed. There was a lot of craning of necks to see the scoring. If you haven't read my email with all the scoring on it, basically I decide what I find is the funniest or most entertaining and I award points that way. It is that obtuse. It's my game. I get to do it my way. I am open to flattery and any kind of other strategy you might want to put in place if your story's not up to it. Typically I have a ball of 30 topics, but I left it in Edinburgh, so we're just going to wing it. I was like, hang on, I'm sure it's harder to get the train going up than it was coming down.
I was going to say that. Some random person up there just pulling out random words.
Yeah, but it's sellotape closed as well because I couldn't be trusted to use it live because the balls just kept flying out and going everywhere. So I don't know what they're going to make of that, the Airbnb host. Like, what is this here?
It'd be quite a good way of them working out whether someone should stay in their Airbnb, just getting one of the balls out and asking them.
Yeah.
Like, right, tell me your most embarrassing moment as a teenager or you can't stay here.
I feel like the regulations to get into that Airbnb, because they suspected I was going to sublet it to the hills, was about that level, to be honest. But it was just me there, honestly. So that's how it's going to work. I'm going to call out some categories. You're going to jump in with a story or a song. It's got to be audio because this is a podcast. So you can do a little dance for me if you want, but only I will enjoy it. It might be good on the points, bad audio experience. So without further ado, let's introduce the guests. I'm really excited about this panel today. So coming in live from the Blank Podcast, it is the brilliant Jim Daly. How are you?
Hello. Yes, I'm good. I'm very good. Thank you. I should actually, I'm a bit nervous actually about doing this podcast because I want to do well, obviously not like scoring wise, but when you go on something you like, I want to do quite well. And I'm also slightly nervous because this is an anecdote podcast and I think I have the worst memory of any comedian ever, I think. So I'm slightly worried you're going to ask me an anecdote and I won't be able to remember anything I've done in my entire life so far.
You can heckle the other anecdotes though. That also wins points.
Oh,
yeah, if it's
I'm
fun.
I'm not good at that either. But I didn't know song was an option when you just said that then. So that that makes things interesting. So yeah.
Tom Tuck did some Ricky Martin all in Spanish for me and won the episode. That was quite sexy. So there's something that you can bear in mind.
Okay, it's not going to be sexy, I'll be totally honest. But
we'll decide. Come on, okay, Jim. Don't do yourself down.
We'll see.
Next up, live from the Wi-Fi bunker, it is Scott Bennett. How are you?
I'm really good, thank you. Very good. One child went back to school this morning.
Oh, amazing.
It was an amazing moment.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Wonderful. She went happy to go at five. Happy to go to school at five. She's Aww. 5 years old. School's amazing at five, isn't it? It's not yeah. school.
It's colouring and
meeting
stuff.
Up with mates. Yeah. yeah, it's meeting up with your mates. It's like, do you know what I mean? It's like a little, it's like one never-ending stag do as school at 5 year old. So she's there. The eldest is with me and, well, she's inside, but she's,
just going to say.
Fine. She's fine. She's just cooking. Oh, I can see there's flames. It's all right. When the smoke alarm goes off, I'll deal with it. But until okay. then, she's doing this weird thing where she sees things on TikTok and tries to recreate them in the kitchen. And it has to stop, I think, because it's like she can't cook. And it's like a meth lab in there. There's stuff everywhere. It's like just a complete disaster. So, yeah, apart from that, I'm excellent. I'm in the shed.
Lovely.
And I'm really good. Yeah, very good.
And the magnificent Izzy Sooty, the magnificent well lit.
Yes.
Izzy, how are you?
Lamps in the correct place.
Yeah. I mean, people don't have the context of us knowing that you moved the lamp around, but they do now. That's a non-anecdote from me. Lamp. That gets no points.
God. Yes, of course. But I'd just like everyone to know that I did move the lamp. It's now behind the computer.
You're beautifully lit as a result. And you've got lovely wallpaper. And that gets a point straight away, straight off the bat. That's how arbitrary my scoring is.
We've moved in. Thank you.
Scott's got posters of himself behind him. That's a choice.
Yeah.
That is what I like to call the ego print from Laura Ashley.
I have a shed that I built purely because of Scott. Does that get a point? Influenced.
No, mate. You can't imitate, mate. There's always one original shed, and then everyone else's
shed.
Is just...
It looks like a sauna, like the wood. Yeah. It's amazing.
That's the vibe we're going for.
That is OSB chipboard. That is it. That is with a natural varnish, which I stole the idea from a micro pub near me. Because I thought that it is funny you say sauna because I do often come in here naked.
I was going to ask, but I thought, no, it's a bit early. But no, apparently not. We're talking about nudity.
No, this is none of this works on audio. But above me is soundproofing as well.
Oh, because yeah, fancy.
Yeah, it's very, it got out of hand, this. It was like a project that sort of escalated. when you spent more time
a lot of that in the past year.
Yeah.
Gemma wants me to decorate the house, but I spent, 4 weeks soundproofing a shed instead.
Do not underestimate how little Scott wants to do that job.
Yeah, that's it. I'll do anything but that. But there you go.
Well, normally I'd roll the ball, but as it is, I've had to predetermine my categories, but you don't get to know what I've chosen. So we'll just imagine the sound of a bingo ball here all together. Mm. And the category is, shockingly, drunk behaviour.
Drunk behaviour.
Who's got one?
I'll go straight in with mine. I think it was at university and... I don't know. It was one of those where I had Sambuca for the first time, which is never a good experience, is it? You never come out of that as a same person.
No, you're absolutely right.
So you go into it sort of as a different, you come out of a different person. And it was flaming Sambuca. And I think I knew I had too much when I was forgetting to blow it out and just drinking taking the full fire onto the face there. But I always think with what I always am amazed with, no matter how drunk I got, I always managed to order chicken.
It's just an innate sense, I think.
I think it's like that part of my brain just stays protected. I mean, I lose control of all of the bodily functions. But as soon as I walk into the KFC, I will have a bargain book. I become,
KFC, though.
Yeah, well, I walk it.
That's
I remember,
bougie.
No, I used to get a bargain bucket to walk home with in the days when they'd often give you a Viennetta as well, like a full Viennetta. Dessert, which is like a donut. They give you out of a freezer, like Iceland, and they go, here's a full family dessert. And you're walking home with it under your arm with a bargain bucket down the side of a dual carriageway. Honestly, once I had to divide it with the credit card. It was that big.
So you didn't wait to get home. You just sat
I portioned it. I sat on the side of a reservation and portioned a Viennetta, which was one of the greatest evenings of my life, I think. But there you go.
Sounds like one of the classiest evenings of your life. I don't think you can ever have an evening that's not classy with the Viennetta. It makes any situation classy.
It really does. Even by the side of a dual carriageway.
I thought that, right, because I used to work for Kate Thornton's cashback site and I was in charge of the social media very briefly. It was taken from me when I put up a picture of a Viennetta. I was like, who remembers these? Because I bought one and I got told in the sternest terms that Viennetta was not on brand for our aspirational lifestyle.
That is classist. That's classism in action. What really annoys me there is I don't care whether you went to private school or whether you own your own yacht. If someone bangs out an Viennetta at a dinner party, everyone has it. Everyone's happy to see it.
Do you know what the other one of those is? The other thing that brings everyone together at dinner parties, and that is Ferrero Rocher.
I was about to say that. I went to my friend Anne's last night and watched Married at First Sight Australia, which we do once a week, and she prepares this like feast of popcorn and chocolate and stuff, and she had loads of Ferrero Rochers, which her husband had somehow acquired. I didn't ask how, but she's got so many Ferrero Rochers in there.
You don't buy Ferrero Rocher, you acquire Ferrero Rocher.
Yeah, you acquire it. And I was like, as soon as I saw the Ferrero Rochers, exactly what you just said, Jim, I was like, oh my God, the evening is starting.
Did they bring them round on a triangular pile?
Oh my God, the ambassador's reception. In a box, and I had to open the box myself, which I thought was really bad hosting, actually.
The sellotape's quite tricky.
And if you're listening, I'm only joking. I'm incredibly grateful for your week.
I don't know about you guys, but I was, because of that marketing campaign, I was led to believe growing up in the 80s and 90s that literally only incredibly rich people could afford a Ferrero Rocher. So then if I saw someone I knew that had a Ferrero Rocher, I think I'd or wondered maybe where they'd got their wealth from, or they'd stolen them or something, because
it's like, the equivalent
like a Russian. Yeah, exactly.
That and a Soda Stream.
Yeah.
Aspirational.
If you've got a Ferrero Rocher to show that you're, you know, you've got money, you can't ever eat it. You could eat it, then stuff the wrapper with like tissue paper and be like, guys, I've still got my Ferrero Rocher.
Yeah, but I can never show you my Ferrero Rocher.
Yeah.
So, I tell you what is interesting, though, is I think when you say about the aspirations, we hired a hot tub in lockdown, didn't me and Gemma, right, which isn't as glamorous as you think. I'm sorry, you know, like when you're in a footballer's mansion, it works, but not when you're in your own kitchen window looking at your own wheelie bins. Do you know what I mean? It's not. And I came out. The reason why I wanted to say that is I think my working class body, I came out in a rash in that hot tub. And I think what it was is I'm even allergic to an aspirational lifestyle, is what I'm saying. It's like I put my working class body in like a middle class environment and it just went, you can fuck off, mate. Do you know what I mean?
You could have downgraded to a wheelie bin with hot water in it, and then you would have had sort of best of both worlds.
Standing up one.
I should have had a Ferrero Rocher or a bit of Viennetta in there. That would have helped.
Oh my God, it would have just been too much. I'm trying to imagine it. Was it like a blow up hot tub? Did they deliver it? Or
no, they delivered it on the back of a low loader. It was like a proper hot tub,
Wow.
It was incredible. Yeah, she got it was a surprise, and it was a surprise. I couldn't hang the washing out. It was in the way.
We went to this thing called Hot Tub Cinema once to what, and you basically hired a hot. There were loads of hot tubs on top of a pub roof in East London, and it was quite expensive. And you could either hire your own hot tub, which was really pricey, or you could go in a hot tub with strangers. And it was me and three of my mates. And we went in a hot tub with a couple, and it was so weird. And we were watching like Top Gun, and we were right at the back, and like my leg touching the other girl's leg because it was too small. And it was also boiling, like being in a hot tub for 2 hours. The water doesn't get cooler like it does with a bath.
Yeah.
And my sister was there too, and she was really annoyed. She was like, "I haven't seen Top Gun. I can't hear it." And I was like, "I don't think that's really the point of why we're here."
Over the sound of the bubbles.
Exactly. It was like, and then at the end, I saw this woman in another hot tub take her bikini top off and pour like Prosecco on her boobs. And then she looked around and no one was watching. And then she just put her bikini top back on. And it was like the
saddest thing in the world.
Oh my God.
No one noticed.
That is like the worst rap video of all time, isn't it?
Grotty East London pub, Prosecco, not champagne, in a shared hot tub.
Yeah.
love it. Oh, I love wow. it.
Wow. What was the category again? Drunk behaviour.
Drunk yeah. behaviour. I was in a hot tub.
You buy chicken, Scott. That's your game.
That's my game.
Is it?
I drank a bottle of... I was actually going to... I thought of another drunken story when you first suggested it, which is that I threw up...
I don't predetermine these categories. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I meant them when you just said drunken stories. I threw up in my housemate's shoe, which I because I was so drunk, once on a coach when I used to work for Oddbins. We had a Christmas party, which unsurprisingly was very booze-fueled. And I was, you know, when you think you're all right, then you get on a coach and you're really drunk. Yeah. I was like, oh no, I'm going to
throw up. That's the worst thing.
No.
No, but they'd like, it was out of London, even though the office was in London. And then we all had to get on this coach at like 1 a.m. and everyone was hammered. It was like asking for trouble, basically. I don't know why they hadn't done it in London, but yeah, it was like an hour's journey. And there were heels. I didn't have any heels because I never wear them, and I'd borrowed them. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be sick. And I was also trying to pull my workmate at the time. So I was like, oh, I don't want him to see me covered in sick. So I just took the shoe off and threw up into the shoe. And it was like Cinderella. It was like a heeled shoe that I just filled really neatly with sick. So, but then also Scott reminded me of when I had tequila in Tequila Slammers, and we drank it in half an hour. Me and my friend Sharon, we drank a whole bottle of tequila in half an hour.
No.
On New Year's Eve. Yeah, I was about maybe 15 or 16.
Oh my word.
I went downstairs and my mum and dad had a mantelpiece which had like wedding presents on it and ornaments and stuff, and a hard floor, and I swept my hand along it like a bear. I was like, ah, and everything just crashed to the floor and broke. I feel that's probably one of the worst things I've ever done.
Oh. Did they know it was you?
Yeah, because I then saw them. We were trying to walk up the hill to this party, and I bumped into them. I was like, Mum, Dad, I've just trashed all the ornaments. Bye. And then I wasn't very grateful for their food and shelter.
Do you know?
That's what you've got to come, Scott. This is what you can look forward to.
I was just going
to
say, what's amazing is when you did the underage drinking, you see, if I drank what I drank when I was 15 at the park now, I'd be hammered now.
Yeah, probably hammered.
Yeah, it's like a 3-litre bottle of White Lightning, Thunderbirds or Concord. I remember buying, and it was always the lad who went through puberty at 9 that you sent in to get the stuff.
The little bum fluff.
They come out with a crate of Fosters and four bottles of Concord.
That was me often, Scott. I was quite a hairy teenager, so I looked a lot. I remember once going to the off-licence in Edenbridge, Kent, where I grew up, and I must have been 16, maybe 17, and the guy went behind the counter. Oh, I know you. You're 25, aren't you?
Yeah.
I just went,
okay.
Yes. Okay. And somehow managed to style it out, so I was able to go there for quite a bit. I've got two questions actually off the back of both of your stories. First, Izzy, did the workmate see you throw up and
in the shoe?
Yeah, he saw me, and then we still went home together.
I mean, that is hot. Perfectly filling a shoe with sick with no spillage. That's it.
He was quite impressed with my skills.
Wow. Wow, he was the ideal person to try and pull that night.
Yeah.
Second one is, if you guys have got a drink that, because when Scott was talking about sort of drinking when you were underage, that you had a really bad night on, that you now can't, because mine is Bacardi Breezers. Not that is something that I go out and order now as a 37-year-old man, but just the smell of watermelon. Mm. Or that sort of sticky watermelon still sort of does it for me.
Archers for me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Which is horrible. Yeah, I drank. I think at the time I thought it was pre-mixed, which was my first mistake. I was about 18. And I went out with my gay friend, Gareth, ended up going back to his, doing poppers, snogging him, and we never spoke again. So, that's the smell of Archers to me. Peach and errors.
Oh my God. I think it's Mad Dog 2020 for me. That stuff, I haven't seen that stuff since.
What is that?
It's 45 still for sale. Wine. It's just, I can't.
2020. Yeah, it was in a bottle, wasn't it?
Like, it was in a bottle, little bottle, like a proper hip flask bottle. And I just love the idea of going into a pub and ordering it as an adult and just saying, can I have a Mad Dog 2020 with ice and then a fruit shoot for my child? I'd love to do. They just look at you going like, what's wrong with you? But yeah, that whenever I smell strawberry, like sweet liquor, like strawberry. Awful. Awful memories.
It's often the it's often the sweet things, isn't it? Like with all of us. Because for me, it's... actually, for me, it's tequila, which isn't that sweet because of that night. But I think a lot of people have an aversion to those, like, Archer's Bacardi, kind of those sweet drinks, like Smirnoff Ice as well, I can't have now.
Oh, like, horrible. Yeah, that, yeah. I mean, I get reflux just licking a spring onion now. The idea of it doing a bottle of Smirnoff, I'd be on my back. I just couldn't do it.
Put it with your rosé, turbo spritzer. Have yourself a time.
Did you used to have Red Bull? What was it? Was it vodka?
Vodka Red Bull. Yeah. Because I think nothing improves a night out than the resting heart rate of a base jumper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I remember doing it as you were flagging. We used to do it about 1 a.m. when we was going to, you know, we were like, oh, we're falling asleep. We'll have a vodka Red Bull now. It was like the timing of it was really important.
Yeah.
I've just had a massive flashback to being in NATO in Leeds. Did you ever go to that night? There was a nightclub called NATO. And drinking, they didn't have Red Bull. They had a knockoff called Flying Horse.
I've had Flying Horse.
Flying Horse. Wow. And I remember me about 2 a.m, everyone going, get a Flying Horse. Come on, let's get like Pegasus.
I think I saw Flying Horse supporting Arctic Monkeys in about 2008.
Flying Horse. It was such an obvious knockoff. And I've never seen it since.
There's such a gap in the market for a podcast which talks about knockoffs, don't you think?
Everyone
brings one in.
Yeah. Oh, dear. So, Jim, what's your worst drunken experience? You've asked questions to try and digress us, but we won't.
He's an experienced podcaster.
Yeah, I saw what you did there, trying to host.
He's only deflecting. He's deflecting because his ended in a conviction. That's why.
Basically what I've done is I've done notes about every category that you sent.
And
next to drunk behavior, I've just put no, because
you've never behaved drunkenly in your life. I don't believe you.
I'm one of those kids that I had an incredibly low tolerance, which I still do. So I would get drunk very quickly as a kid, but it also meant that I would throw up and pass out quite a lot. So a lot of my drunken stories involve ending up in hospital.
Oh,
having sort of, yeah, brings the mood down a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah, exactly. it's difficult to make those funny, to be totally honest. But yeah, I just
you can also highlight someone else's drunk behavior. It's deliberately open.
He's probably too passed out to see any of the drunk behavior. It's really like now I've got kids and I'm real lightweight and never go out. When I go out, I can have like a small glass of wine and that's enough for me. But when you're a teenager, you can't really go, oh, I'll just have a half. There's so much pressure, isn't there, to drink?
Yeah.
Which is probably why you were, if you'd been able to have like, you know, an inch of red wine, you probably would have had a good night.
Yeah, a quarter of a Bacardi Breezer would have sorted me for the evening.
Wasn't about having a good night though, was it? That wasn't the game.
It wasn't throwing up in your shoe.
Yeah, I pretended I was allergic to alcohol until I was 18 to not be peer pressured into it, because I was already shambolic. I did not want to know what would happen to me if I did, so I lied.
That's a good idea.
I lied for quite a long time. Idea. Then went to uni, abandoned all pretense of that. Disgraceful. Absolutely.
I mean,
I hadn't practiced, did I?
Well, as you get older, I have to do my drinking under the radar now, like, and particularly with the kids around. So my drinking tends to be on a Sunday for when I'm cooking Sunday lunch. And it's just a progressively state of getting absolutely hammered till I can, you know. So that's why I end up getting the portions wrong and the kids are eating like a kilo of mash. Because I've just...
whole chicken.
You know, a whole chicken, like it's like a Henry the Apes buffet. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't even see them for the first part of the meal. Like they reveal as they eat, they reveal themselves. Do you know the genitals on Naked Attraction?
Yeah.
That's like what it's like. That's Sunday dinner around our house because I've lost control. There's been so many times where I've fallen asleep at 6:30 because I've drank a bottle of wine through the day.
It's like Christmas every day at your house.
It's Sunday.
Sunday.
I can only drink.
I can only drink
on Sunday. Sunday's my drinking day. That's the only day I can drink now.
It's what Jesus would have wanted.
There's something really lovely about drinking when you're cooking, I think, because it's like, I'll have a little sip of wine. I'll chop the carrots. It's like, I've earned it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm Nigella.
But also, you can feel like it's like one for me, one for you, for whatever I'm making, pour it in one for me. You feel like you're sort of sharing as well. So you're doing everyone a favour.
Yeah, sophisticated.
Exactly, yeah. And then have your Viennetta afterwards. I mean, what more do you want?
Cut with a credit card.
I love it, mate.
What's this dust Viennetta? On the credit card? It's Viennetta, actually.
Yeah. Viennetta, heard that one before. Yeah.
It's just Viennetta. Right. Let's move on.
A bit of Pavlova dust on there. Cut through a meringue with that one, mate.
Really good quality Pavlova, that.
Yeah. Waitrose Pavlova.
Crushed up. Do it as a line. Right. Petty crimes. Who's got a petty crime?
Petty crime. Oh, yes. It's very petty. Once my childhood friend Lee stole a box of Galaxy, a whole box of Galaxy bars from the market in Matlock. had like 24 bars of Galaxy in it. Sorry, this is going to involve sick again.
Amazing.
and we got the bus to Bakewell so that we'd be far enough away. He stole it, and then we were like, let's get on the first bus because the market's in the bus station. And went all the way to Bakewell, which is actually like a half-hour bus ride. And we went into a park, and he ate like 10 of them in a row. And then he threw up like chocolate onto the grass and then ate it again.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's like the Matlock version of the end of Scarface, basically, where he's getting high on his own supply.
Ill-gotten gains. He didn't even want them at the end. He's just like had to get rid of the evidence.
Yeah, it was like that was the thing. Like, what are we going to do with them? Like, as if we couldn't have just put them in a bin. We were like,
They're too hot. They're too hot. This is too hot.
Our fingerprints are all over it.
I love the idea of getting rid of it. It's now a problem. It's such a child crime, that is. I love that. Oh, I've got two that are like, one as a child and one as a teenager, and they're both pathetic.
Let's have it.
As a child, we lived on like a street, and there's a lot of people live on streets, but me and my mate, what we did was we used to steal the cat's eyes out the middle of the road.
Amazing. What did you do with them? Eat them and stick them on the grass?
We kept them in a Tupperware under my bed, and that was it. That was the only crime. It was like, I remember going with a knife and getting into the rubber bit and firing them out and then putting them in a box. And so to the point where my dad said, he came down the road and he says, someone's going to die on our road. He says, I can't see the middle of it anymore.
They
were
petty.
All under my bed, but we were risking death doing it. And but it was like, I don't know why we did. I still don't know why we did it. The boredom of a summer holiday. Let's steal some cat's eyes, mate. That is now. That is such a danger. I mean, it's like chucking a brick on a railway, but a lot lower down. Do you know what I mean? A lot longer payoff, isn't it? That.
Yeah, well, it's a gateway crime, funny. Scott. Where do you go after cat's eyes?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I'll tell you where you go, mate. You go to fraud, which is what I did when I was working at Homebase on the tills. Did you work at Homebase, Izzy?
No, or do you know? I'm impressed that I'm talking on a Zoom call with someone who's done fraud.
Well, we'll just rein in your expectations because it's very low level. What happened was we had these spend and save cards that they would do, and people you'd give them at the till, and people then would scan them and they'd spend £1,000 and get £2 off or something. It was ridiculous. And then there was a real pressure for the staff on the tills to get these people to sign up for it. And you got like book tokens and stuff. And I realized after the first day, they weren't checking the names or checking the cards. So all I did was just start making up names, just random people. And I went through like all family members, then just trousered all the cards and then handed them in. They were like, Scott, you've done amazing. That's like 34 cards there. Well done. And then the thing that caught me out was at the end of the shift, because staff had been nicking, not me, but people had been snicking. They did a bag search. They said, can you open your bag? And these cards just rained down onto this thing. And then they went through everything. They were like, who's this person? And I think I'd put in names like Kurt Cobain and stuff. Like, is he gonna come in for a bit of decking? Yeah, do you know what I mean? So it's like, he loves it. Him and Courtney are always in here getting stuff.
Are you just in like there the, buying teen spirit?
Yeah, yeah. I had Al Pacino in buying 25 kilograms of gravel. It was like a whole sitcom. It was a sitcom in my head. I did everyone. I did really obscure names. I did like Alan Bennett. And I said, he's no relation. But I knew he lived in Morley. So I put Morley. I got a warning. Got a written warning.
That's not so bad though.
I know. They were very understanding. I had to really apologise. I said, look, it was the pressure to hit the targets. I just wanted a book token. But yeah, there you go. That is a crap crime.
A crap crime.
You say that, yeah. Scott. Yeah. I feel like my life is pathetically lame compared to you.
It's criminal mastermind like, Scott Bennett.
Yeah. Oh, man. I've done nothing like that. Your story had reminded me of, this isn't really even criminal, but when I worked on a local newspaper in
we'll Upshur. Work with you, Jim. We'll work with you.
All right, we'll see.
What's on your notes?
What's on my notes is pick and mix, because I was going to tell a story very similar to Izzy's.
Where variety crime.
I stole one pick and mix. Like, not even, could have got a handful. I think from the Woolworths in Sevenoaks, I think. But I can't remember which one it was. I remember I would have been about 7 or 8 and feeling like literally like the police were going to knock down my door. I think I thought about possibly handing myself in.
You have to remember
I was brought up Catholic, so that guilt
of that one flump.
Yeah. Yeah, that one flying saucer.
Father, it was just a flump.
It was almost like a wafer anyway. It just reminded me of church.
It fell out. It fell out. It was, yeah, the sherbet saucer. I'd go to church if they were banging them out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Them and Bacardi Breezer.
You're very different.
Yeah.
They could be pick and mix in the, you could put your hand in, couldn't you? Yeah. And get, you didn't know what you were going to get.
Holy pick and mix.
I just love the body of Christ as they put in one of them saucers. Really fizzy. Body of Christ. Body of Christ, chocolate mice.
So come on, Jim.
Pineapple cube.
What have you got?
So I was working on a local newspaper in Uckfield in Sussex, and it was my first job in journalism. And to give you a sort of an overview of how I did, after I left that patch, they closed the newspaper because circulation was down so low. So really had an effect on the people of Uckfield. But we had to do this thing called Vox Pops. You guys know what Vox Pops are? We have to go and ask the public like completely inane questions. And I used to hate doing, I used to get so nervous doing them. I used to hate approaching people and asking them like, oh, what do you think about the price of milk these days? It just felt like so embarrassing. So one day I drove home, Googled smiling man or smiling woman on Google, downloaded photos, made up quotes. Susan from Main Street loves pick and mix, and then submitting them into the paper. And I don't think I was as creative as Scott with the names. I'm
shocked.
Yeah, but they got published, and I genuinely thought I was gonna get fired. But I think what it turns out is no one in that newspaper making it or reading it gave a shit about the Vox Pops. But it was awful.
I think what you don't realize though is if you started a line of criminality there, because if you read any major paper, they always have those spotted, celebrity spotted, and they're always bullshit because they always go, I saw Madonna coming out of a subway in Colchester. And they're not true.
You can't prove it.
And there's loads of those that I saw, you know, really bizarre ones. Do you know what I mean? I saw David Tennant on a swing in Crewe.
I think it's specific. It feels believable.
Yeah.
He was wearing a blue jumper and he was eating a cornetto. It feels true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the Rush Hour crushes are apparently made up.
I know, but there's some real ones in there and they're fighting to be heard.
Love stories that can't speak their name. My mum likes to text us on newspapers Reader's Corner about Philip Schofield because she hates him and she's not allowed on the internet. So that's her outlet. She'll just text and just like complain that he's on too much telly. She's like, he's on again. He's smug. And she signs off the Cardiff Girls. And it's not. It's just her alone at home on a pay-as-you-go. And she hates him.
I like your mum. She sounds cool.
She's nuts. She tells me she does it. She's like, you'll like this fix for your comedy. And sure enough, it's gone in my set because it is funny. But I don't like the idea that by topping up a phone, I am funding hate inadvertently against the silver box.
You are a vessel for bile. That is what you're doing there. That is...
You're enabling.
Enabler.
I used to not scan foods and things for people I fancied in Tesco's as well, but they never knew I was doing it. Yeah. So I didn't get the credit for it. I'd be like,
that is a mess.
That lemon's free.
Did you do that noise? Boop.
I don't know. What's the statute of limitations on crime?
I don't know.
I've just remembered something else we used to do, actually. I used to work in a London theatre, and it was for a musical by Andrew Lloyd Webber. I don't think he'll mind this. This is 20 years ago. We didn't do it very long, but we used to top up. So he had private wine, which he used to give to his guests. And we used to sell the wine to the like punters, the normal punters. Then we used to top up like an empty bottle of house wine with his private wine, which was really lovely, and then sell that and pocket the money because he never checked the stock of private wine. We didn't do it very much, Andrew, if you're listening, and it's a great musical.
I'd be really surprised if he was listening, to be honest. Big if true, but I will tag him in just so he's got a right to reply. Oh, look at us. Criminal masterminds, every one of us. The security guard at work, actually, on the like spend and save business, he got fired because he collected receipts off the floor and got them put on his own club card.
That's genius.
I know, until he was caught.
I like stuff like that. I think
he should get away with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was an accessory to it because I used to do it for him as well. So I was like, when he was gone, they're like, yeah, he was defrauding club cards. I was like,
I bet it was exciting though. Like, we used to look for money in the stream opposite our house. And when you see like a glinting 2p or pound, it was like, oh, it must have been the same when you saw the receipts.
Yeah. Just like, oh, Christmas, quid's in. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's a hedge trimmer.
But yeah, it's because it's called wombling. It's actually a practice that's done. It was on Money Saving Experts. So people go outside the supermarket and there is some argument about whether or not it's fraudulent to take the points.
Yes, of course, because if the person hasn't got a card, it's just literally a receipt, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I didn't have my card. Wow.
I've had that at a petrol station though, where a guy, I've bought petrol and he's gone, you got a Nectar card? And I went, no. And he went, all right. Got his out and went, whoop.
Cheers, mate. The audacity of that, really.
And I was like, at least wait till I'm not there.
Yeah.
You've basically just stolen from me. He literally just went, have you got a... I went, no. He went, fantastic. Whoop. I was like, you can't do that, mate.
Outrageous. Absolutely outrageous
way to carry on. I said to him, I'm coming round and whatever shopping you're buying, I'm having dinner. Because I've paid for a bit of that dinner. Yeah. So I'll be there Wednesday. I'll be there on Wednesday.
With your bottle of red wine and your battlements of mash.
I'll bring a Viennetta, mate. It's Ferrero Rocher.
I'm taking that to the next party I go to. Viennetta, Ferrero Rocher pyramid, because I got a Ferrero Rocher pyramid for Christmas and I was all excited, and then when I opened it had a plastic triangle in the middle. It was fraud. It wasn't a real pyramid. It was just, they were just stacked around the edges. That's, I was devastated, terrible. I was absolutely devastated.
You can't imagine I'm trying to do that in transit though, maintain a pyramid. It's impossible. Avoid all the speed bumps, Dave.
Yeah, that is true.
And there was a plastic lid over the top. It wasn't like a Yeah, it wasn't served on a beautiful tray.
Were they glued to the plastic
Yeah, there was a little bit of glue to the bottom of them.
Yeah, you're right, Scott. It would have, I guess you could pack it really tightly, but they'd still move around a bit, wouldn't they?
And
you
it had a lid on, though, because it was a gift one. So it did have a little plastic lid on. But
it's basically an environmental nightmare is what it is.
Oh, yeah. Terrible. Terrible carbon footprint problem. But
the ambassador doesn't give a shit about global warming.
No, ear miles for his food. No shit's given. Right.
I want glue on foil to plastic to make it impossible. You have to, do you know what? It's the only confectionery you have to take down the tip to get separated.
Oh, dear me. Right. Unpopular opinions, dare I ask?
Yeah. I've got one.
Of course you have.
Fawlty Towers isn't very good.
Oh, wow.
We'll hear evidence.
I've tried so many times. I like John Cleese. I like the idea. I love comedy. I just can't do it. I just find it annoying. I find his character one tone. I find it a bit just, oh, he's going to lose his temper. And then it just, I don't know. Every episode's just him losing his temper. And then like, oh, look at that classic bit where he hits a car with a branch. Too long, goes on too long. You know, and I get that's the comedy of it. But I'm just like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, why it doesn't click with me. You put that alongside something like Partridge and you go, this isn't the same. The writing isn't the same. It isn't rich. I just find Fawlty Towers just, and I think it's because people I know like it. I don't like them. No, I'm all just talking within my certain circle. I just think, yeah. And it's like, I don't know. I just feel it just hasn't clicked with me and I don't know why.
Do you think there you it's go. Partly because it's been bigged up so much? I sometimes think, you know, when people are like, watch this or listen to this, like, you'll love it. Sometimes we feel a bit like, will I? I might not.
Yeah.
It might be that, like, if someone had gone to you, oh, it's all right. You might
have. Yeah. And I think I need to give it another try. I just felt like someone who I've watched it and I just felt like Manuel slaps him about. It feels very like obvious. Every week seems to be the repeat of the same jokes. I don't know. Maybe I'm being unfair there, but I don't know. It just doesn't click with me.
Is it because it's dated? Some of the
I don't think no, because then but then you're like
it's not the you know racism you object to, it's the repetitive nature of the jokes.
I don't want to get cancelled because of an opinion. But I think, you know, because like, I love Blackadder and that's, I love Steptoe and Son. That's, you know, historic. I just felt like his character was a bit, I just found it a bit irritating. And I don't know why that is. And I don't know. I feel bad now because like you probably like it. But I don't care for it.
I actually have zero opinion.
No opinion.
To be honest, I don't.
I quite like it. I watched it a lot when I was a kid. It was like one of the first sitcoms that I watched. I suppose I've got a fondness for it. And we used to watch this VHS video called How to Irritate People, which was John Cleese doing sketches, I think. And that was like one of the first comedy things I watched, like on my own as a kid. And I loved that.
But was one of the things on the video, do a documentary about woke behaviour and cancel culture, because that really did the trick for Twitter, didn't it? Like you annoyed a lot of people that day.
You're really going to irritate people. Irritated. No, but if someone had a crystal ball, I'm sure that would have been the whole VHS. But I wouldn't stick it on. Like if I don't tend to rewatch things anyway, but I love the in-betweeners and I love a lot of
stuff,
but I wouldn't necessarily stick them on even. I always want to watch new things. But I do like Fawlty Towers, but I sort of understand what you mean. I think when you find someone irritating with comedy, that's why we do a very hard job, guys.
Because
compared to drama or something, you could watch something like Dr. Foster and go, you know what, I really liked it, but you know what I mean, you could kind of go, oh, I might not watch episode two, I don't feel that kind of into the story or whatever. Whereas with comedy, people get so, like, they're like, no, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, people have such strong opinions, don't they?
I tell you what I think.
Him irritating, you wouldn't feel the same about, like, Morse or something, because it's not comedy.
I think, I'm just thinking about it now, I think I haven't got an issue with Cleese or Python. I like, obviously, I loved all that stuff. I think what it is, I think the character isn't deep enough. I think it's a bit one dimensional. So like I, when you said you don't rewatch stuff, I do rewatch stuff. So
yeah,
I will watch Partridge at least once a week. And I've probably got an unhealthy obsession with that character. But when I actually look at that character, every other character just fades in terms of quality because there's such richness and depth. There's a history. It's been sort of crafted and cultivated. And you feel like you know him. And I always feel like going, that is when it seems to be more of an effort there in building that. And then always people always go, oh, you know, John Cleese, it was an incredible character as Basil Fawlty. When you see it on those countdowns, it's always like one or two. And I go, it's always Partridge. It's always got to be Partridge. And I think it's probably because I think it's been lauded over other things that I think that are better than it. That's probably all the only reason.
But I also think it's to do with, this is very deep, but vulnerability. And I think Partridge has a vulnerability that Basil Fawlty doesn't. And when I think about like Jamie Dimitri's performance in Staffelet's Flats, that's why I love that show, because he's vulnerable.
Agreed. Yeah, totally. Totally.
Are you, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I'm the sort of person that when someone says something is really good, I actively avoid watching it or listening to it.
Yeah. Dicks, they call us, Jim.
Yeah. I don't want it to be bad. I want it to be good, but I don't want to be sort of let down by it. So I avoided watching Ted Lasso for quite a long time, and everyone's like, this is so good.
We're still avoiding that in this house. Yeah. On that proviso. It's just like, I don't want to be left out if I'm not into it.
Exactly.
Scared, aren't you, that you're not going to love it? I think you feel like you failed in some way if you don't love it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that around Schitt's Creek, because some people absolutely love it and some people hate it. And
I tried that the other day. I say the other day, 6 months ago. Wasn't enamored by the first episode. And then literally this week thought, I was on my own. Like, it doesn't happen in this house a lot. I thought, I'm going to watch Schitt's Creek and give it a proper go.
Because they're only 20-minute episodes, see, and there's no jeopardy in them, which I found quite beautiful when everything was on fire.
But yeah, it's good. You can sort of breeze through it, actually. I quite enjoyed it.
Would you recommend it now, Jim? Where are you up to?
No, I never recommend anything to anyone because I don't want them to hate it, and as a result, hate
blame
me.
You. Yeah.
So I Jim just... Daly. Jim Daly recommends.
What a prick!
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Not recommend it?
I would not recommend it. How many knots is that?
We've gone all the way around to you recommending it.
Yeah, you have an even number is you recommending it and an odd number is you not.
Okay, I would not recommend it. That's 4.5. So to make of that what you will.
I'd love to see you doing a film program, just really sort of on the fence. On the fence for 45 minutes.
It had, do you know what I mean?
What about the new Suicide Squad film? I mean, I don't know, really. Yes, some like it, some don't like it. There's no point, Jim. Just give us an opinion.
Opinion or death.
I can't do it.
So it's your unpopular opinion that you don't have any opinions?
No, my unpopular opinion is that jeans are shit.
I love it. Tell me more.
They're not shit. Do you know what? I'm going to reel back already on that. They're not shit.
Oh, come on, Jim.
They're mildly inconvenient. They're a bit uncomfortable sometimes. That's basically I was wearing, because I've been not wearing jeans for a long time, because I've been stuck in my house for a year and a half, and I've been in the same pair of jogging bottoms for ages. I put on jeans the other day because I literally went to go and buy milk, I think it was. No, I went to go and post my Stitch Fix back. Because I don't know if you guys get Stitch Fix. I get Stitch Fix. Don't buy any of the clothes, but just like to put them on and then see what I look like in nice clothes and then send them back because I can't afford it.
Oh, a time waster. That's a petty crime in itself, I think.
Oh, yes, I have done a petty crime.
There we go. No intention of buying those clothes.
No.
Wearing them, sweating them up, sending them back, creating work.
Look at all those.
Like an influencer, like the Instagram influencer.
But with no confidence.
But without posting them anywhere. He just looks at himself, then packs them away.
That could be a new brand of influencer.
The one that doesn't have any self-confidence. Just puts up a picture going, I would show you the picture, but it didn't work out.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't post any pictures.
The amount of miles they've traveled just to, you know.
Oh, that's true. I bought a couple of t-shirts because they were quite cheap. But
you should be ashamed of yourself.
Anyway, listen, jeans are uncomfortable. I think it's just because I've been in jogging bottoms for a year and a half, but they look good. They do look sort of much more grown up, but Yeah, I find them uncomfortable. That is my outlandish opinion.
Wow.
Especially after you've had the soft fabric of jogging bottoms, a lot of us have for the past year and a half. It does sometimes, when you put jeans on, you can feel like, oh, they are definitely kind of more stiff.
You're aware of them.
Yeah.
It's like they're wearing you.
Yes.
I tell you, my issue with jeans is I find one pair that I like and I can never find them again.
Oh, I always buy multiples
say that though, Vix. There's variance even in the multiples. I have bought a pair of jeans and I've gone, this is the best jeans I've got. They're the perfect fit. They're the perfect cut. I don't feel like a dad. They look really good. I'm not trying too hard. The skin, they're not skinny, but they're not slim. They're in the middle. They're nice. And then I go, I like those so much, I'm going to get another pair. I buy exactly the same pair with exactly the same number. They come and I'm going, like, these are clown pants. How is that even?
And he sort of agree more.
It's because they pre-shrink the denim, so it's not always comparable.
Really?
So I asked in Topshop about this because I had a real BMI bonnet.
They cannot recreate it.
No, they can't. And there's like a bit of a spectrum for the sizing. Mm. So they all start at the right size, then they get shrunk, like pre-shrunk in the wash.
Does it change
so there's sometimes
color?
Some discrepancy.
I did that, found some Top Man ones I like. Other brands are available. And
I think they've gone bust. So we're probably all right to talk about them. Yeah. Arcadia Group, Philip Green. Not a nice man, actually. Fuck him.
Oh, wow. I'm not coming. Okay.
It's just an opinion.
Some. He's not a nice man. You're right. I feel like I've sort of beaten Philip Green a little bit. I bought some in black and they were the right size. And then I bought some in blue, exactly the same measurements. And they fit completely differently around the ankle.
This is why we'll never sort human cloning. We can't even make two pairs of jeans that match.
What's the reason for them do you mean, Vix, that they're initially kind of like all the same size and then the shrinking is what determines the size?
They're all like sized appropriately, but right. You can't scientifically control how much they shrink in the wash. They get pretty shrunk. So there's a spectrum. This woman could have been lying to me, but now I'm spreading misinformation just like Jim did with his lies in his newspaper.
It does sound true, that though. But that's my frustration with them. I've had two pairs of jeans in my life I'm happy with. That's tragic. I'm 42.
That's quite sad.
How can that even happen?
I understand that massively. I 100% understand that.
Jim's tabled a very popular opinion here.
Yeah, well, I've done badly on this round.
Like, jeans are difficult. I've got one pair of jeans that I like, but I'd say that almost every day that I get dressed, I don't feel 100% satisfied with what I put on. Tomorrow I'll find that nice top.
Do you guys have a thing? I have a thing where I buy clothes and then I don't want to wear it for fear of like getting it dirty or whatever. And so
keeping them for best.
For best, exactly. Which is at the moment is the corner shop.
We're still in a pandemic.
Yeah. Exactly. I've got notebooks like that. I'm like, oh, I need to make notes, but these aren't the right quality of notes for the caliber of notebook I've got from Paper Chase. Exactly. No, I don't know what notes I'm waiting for that. Like to officiate a wedding.
You'll know, Vic. I will just know.
Yeah.
There's a pressure on stationery there, though, isn't there? There is. That you don't want to dirty it, to sully it with nonsense.
Yeah.
And then there's a pressure then. It's like when someone gets you to sign a birthday card in an open plan office and you haven't got anything witty to say and then you're just staring paralyzed with the decision. That's the same thing with the stationery. You go, I can't start.
It is quite freeing when you do start a notebook. All those preconceptions disappear. And
I never maintain the integrity of it though. It gets battered. There's banana in the middle of it. It gets chucked in my bag.
I like that though. I like coffee stains and marks on notebooks and books. I hate keeping things pristine. I think it's
use your things. That's a nice note to end on. I think if you've got something nice, use it now, because we might all be dead one day.
And that's my unpopular opinion, actually, that I like to mess up books and my partner doesn't, and I will turn over corners of pages and
like
I will
crack the spines.
Girl with the dragon tattoo, that series, they're so big I cut down the spine, which is what my sister does, and I copied it from her. And I remember reading it on the tube, this woman was like, where's the other half of the book? And I was like, well, it's too heavy. I can't carry the whole book round. And yeah, people are quite disgusted by that.
That's, I've never heard of that.
No, I mean, yeah.
That's like a butcher's slab. That's a butcher's slab of literature. I can't. Actually, what happens if you lose the other half or pick up a different half? You pick up the half from The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and you're reading it, doesn't make sense. Or can I just tell you one slow thing that I know what you mean is you have different standards of pristineness between people. I once lent a DVD to someone and this stuck in my mind because it was traumatic when this happened. And I went round to their house. I mean, I was a student at the time, and I went round to their student room. And they said, oh, I'll just grab your DVD. And he turned around and they had it in their mouth like a dog. So he turned around and he had this DVD in his mouth like that. And he went, oh, this is yours, isn't it? And he gave me it. It had bite marks in it.
Oh, like, no, that's not acceptable.
Mate, you've just bitten my DVD. And it was like a box set. And I was like, oh.
So, investment back in those days, the box set.
Left a bite mark on it, like a teething ring.
That was an animal.
Because he put it in his mouth because he was like getting something out of his pocket.
He had something else in his hand.
Yeah, and he sort of like went, oh, I've got you a DVD. And he turned around, put it in his mouth, and he went, here you go. And I swear, you've just bitten it.
You've
got a bite mark on it.
Absolutely
mate.
Ruined. No. You ruined.
Can't put other people's possessions in your mouth. I think that's
it's done, isn't it? That's fair enough, really. Right, we've run out of time, unbelievably.
Jesus.
We got through like two categories, I think. Oh no, three.
Yeah.
We haven't quite finished, but we're time's run out. So while I am totting up the scores, and it will not take long, you can go around and let's find out where we can find you after this, what you're working on, where we can see you. Jim, where can we find you?
Oh God. Here in this shed, most of the time.
In your tribute shed to Scott.
In my Scott Bennett tribute shed. Good name for an album. I've got a few sort of gigs and stuff coming up. Not many. I'm hopefully doing some more festival shows, hopefully at some point. Vault next year, hopefully. So I did my first solo show this year and it was so much fun. So I'm hoping to do
festivals
more of that.
Application process is nuts though. You have to do like a little video about why you want to particularly go there. And I can't be arsed with that.
I didn't do the video in the end. I gave up.
I'll apply for anything on Eventatron. This is niche for people who aren't festival applicating. I'll apply for anything on Eventatron if you can just copy your application from another time. I'm like, yeah, I'm in.
That's what I did. Yeah, that's what I did. It's quite addictive, Eventatron, actually, working out what you can. But no, I tried doing the application video and then I watched it back and it was like the world's worst self-tape. And so I decided no one needs to see that. So I just filled in the boxes instead.
So they weed out lazy people like me. They're like, she's not going to promote the event. She can't even be asked to do a little video about what she wants to go. They've got me banged to rights, to be honest. But so we can see you maybe at Vaults Festival. That's
maybe.
Where we're at.
Yeah. Then. Yeah.
Nice.
I'd like to leave it out there just to see what happens. Yeah, a bit of intrigue.
Scott, where can we find you?
ScottBennettComedy.co.uk is my website. Very fancy. I'm also doing a tour. There's the poster. Look, they're not seeing this, are they? It's
you look
audio.
Great. That's all right. I'll take a little screen grab of it.
There you go.
Yeah, I'd let you sell me a mortgage.
There you go. Yeah, that's it. Basically, I've got a show. I'm touring that from October. Small run of dates. It's a show called Relax, which was all about my argument that human beings need to slow down and switch off. And I wrote this in 2019, and then there was a worldwide pandemic. So it's a completely irrelevant show about where we are now. But yeah, doing that. And then I'm going to be on the news quiz in a couple of weeks next
are
week.
Are you?
Nice.
Amazing.
For the second time. So that's very exciting.
That's my dream job.
Oh, it's great. And if you are in London next week, I'm at the Comedy Store 9th, 10th, 11th. There you go. I don't know why I mentioned London. It just feels like it should be said.
Yeah.
My mum was worried about me going already.
Oh.
There's a lot of people. Yeah, she said, oh, like, what are you going to do if you get murdered? I said, well, I'll be murdered while I'm mum.
It won't be my problem.
It won't be my issue anymore.
She gets very you problem than
she gets.
Problem.
She gets terrified whenever I go anywhere near London. But there you go. So that's what I'm up to. I've got a podcast from in here as well. Scott, Stand Up From The Shed. That's
amazing.
There you go.
Lovely. Izzy, you've got a book out.
I've got a book out. Yeah, that's called Jane Is Trying. That's out now and available from all booksellers. And it's about a woman who's trying to make her life better, who's quite anxious, and she discovers that her fiance is cheating on her and has to move back into her parents' house in a sleepy Midlands town. And lots of things happen to her, so she has to kind of find her own way forward.
Genre would you call it?
What genre? Contemporary humorous fiction, I guess. It's quite, there's some serious moments in it, but I think it is funny as well.
Yeah. Amazing. I'm going to get it. I'm excited.
Thank you. Brilliant. Yeah. That's called Janie's Trial. And then I've got a podcast as well called The Things We Do For Love, which is chats about love. And it often goes off at tangents, as I imagine we're all used to with podcasts. I think Josh Widdicombe's was about bread for like 80% of it.
A beautiful, valid love. I've been recommended it by so many people. I haven't got around to it yet. It's on my list to listen. But honestly, I have been recommended it by loads and loads of people. Oh, that's amazing. So yeah, congratulations on doing all the good work. Scott, you're the winner. Look at his face. He doesn't know what to do with that information.
I don't know what that means. I've never won anything. The last time I won
absolutely
something
absolutely nothing at all.
Butlin's Beautiful Baby in 1983.
You were a beautiful baby.
I don't remember it at all.
That bone structure. I can't imagine it on a baby.
Joel Lycett said that to me. He said, you've got the sharpest cheekbones in comedy, which... very nice of him.
Yeah, it's it's a beautiful compliment. I'm like a garden gnome. I draw mine on. I have to choose where I put it. Makeup's amazing. Highlighter can do a lot of good work. It does a lot of heavy lifting for me.
I should have done the lighting like Izzy did, because it's not really bringing out the cheekbones. I have to sit quite far back. Now.
Accentuate them.
You'll have to have a bit in your tour show where like a 5-minute cheekbone section where you get them to light them however you want.
Yes, I'd like the Bohemian Rhapsody video from the bottom. That's a real cheekbone lighting moment, that is, yeah.
Everyone could come up one by one and inspect them.
That's the whole show, Dan.
Mind you, though, I don't know. You don't know how many people are coming, Jim. I think we could get through 11 people quite quickly.
Amazing. Right, so you are now free to go. Thank you for playing the Woo! Comedy Arcade, and I'll catch up with you at all the events that you just discussed, hopefully. Thanks for listening to the Comedy Arcade. There'll be a new episode next Thursday with new balls and new guests. If you liked it, like us any way you can, and subscribe and tell all your friends. Also, tell us. We're in all the usual places on all the social media. And if you didn't like it, I've been Sean Walsh, and this is What's Upset You Now. The USP is, it's only 15 minutes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.